I'm Carl King. Welcome to the day before my 125th birthday. I'm told I look pretty good for my age. I want to remind you folks that tomorrow at 3:30 in the afternoon, the band that I used to conduct will be giving a concert of my music in the lovely auditorium out on the west edge of town. It's a great band conducted by a fine conductor, Jerry Jimerson, who is here right now. He used to play clarinet for me many years ago. I guess they want to celebrate my birthday. Hope you can all be there. I published nearly 300 compositions, of which 200 were marches, also wrote waltzes, overtures, mood pieces, serenades, rags, gallops for circus acts. And later I wrote school band music and compositions for college and university bands. You know, I couldn't be more pleased that my band music is still played all over the world. Who would have thought it? However, I guess I'm getting ahead of myself. I was born Carl Lawrence King in Paintersville, Ohio on February 21st, 1891. It was a very small town, and it isn't even on the map anymore. When I was a lad, I sold papers on the street to buy my first horn, cornet. Later, I switched to baritone. You know, I always hankered for that sound of that baritone and featured it a lot in my following compositions. I wrote my first march at age 14, and at 17, I had it published. I had my first one published, and you know, it was more important to me to see my name on that music than the $10 I was given. When I was finished eighth grade, that was the end of my formal schooling. And so I did as many young fellows my age did. We went to apprentice for a skill. I apprenticed to be a printer. One day I heard bands and a parade coming down the street. I thought I'd go down and listen, get closer, listen to them. When I got back, they said, "You can either stay and learn printing or leave and learn music." Well, I guess you know what it did. Next few years, I played baritone horn and cornet with several bands in Canton and Columbus, Ohio. Finally, at age 19, I did what a lot of young men just talk about. I joined the circus. Well, first I went to Emporia, Kansas to join Robinson's famous circus. And when I got off the train, I found out I missed them. Well, they'd been run out of town due to some altercation with local authorities about the miscalculation of gate receipts. I asked several folks if they'd help me, and nobody would. So the 87 cents I had left, I bought a sack of donuts and sat dejectedly at the train station. The advance man for the circus, who had been detained by local authorities, took pity on me, and he helped me to the next stop. Isn't it ironic that the only person who would help a young fella down on his luck was the fella that just got out of jail? I found out later that Robinson's circus was known among circus owners as Ali Baba and the 40 Thieves. In the next few years, I played for and conducted several circus bands, including Sells Floto, Buffalo Bill's Wild West Show, during the Colonel's final years. As bandmaster, I was also the official postmaster, so I made sure that I delivered Colonel Cody's mail last. I have the fondest memories of having coffee and chatting with him each morning. I was privileged to meet many famous people in the circus world, but none as special as Colonel Cody. I wrote Passing of the Red Man in honor of the Colonel, and he always requested that it be played at every performance, even after I left to conduct the Barnum and Bailey Band. At 26, I became its youngest conductor, and during my time there, I wrote what was to become my most famous march. You guessed it, Barnum and Bailey's favorite. Let me tell you how I became a band director. While I was playing for Sells Floto, the band director got sick, and they asked me to fill in. About halfway through the first number, occurred to me that it was a hell of a lot easier waving this little stick around than lugging that damn big baritone horn. Well, since most of my compositions were marches, some people called me the March King. But I think that had a lot to do with my last name. I really think the greatest composer of marches is John Philip Sousa. But we also had different audiences. He wrote for the military band, and I was writing for the circus. Well, let me cite several examples of how my circus music was used. All circuses had a grand entry march with circus wagons, animals, and performers in elaborate costume. This functioned much like an overture does for the musical. Robinson's grand entry march is a good example of that. Of course, that's the same Robinson. The Walking Frog was written for a clown act where they actually dressed up like frogs. Well, it became so popular that eventually it sort of became the national anthem for all clown acts. The circus gallop was very popular and was used whenever excitement was wanted in a circus act. I wrote several of these. And later this morning you'll hear how my music was used as according to the aerialists, as we have a former aerialist here to talk to you. Throughout my career, I always intended to write music that you could hum, sing, or whistle, music that kind of sticks with you. When I was nearly 30, I left the circus and went back to Canton, Ohio, because I'd taken a shine to a beautiful dark-haired keyboard player named Ruth. We decided to marry and agreed the circus life was not very conducive to family life. But then I received a call from John Ringling, and he wanted me to conduct the band for the newly formed Greatest Show on Earth. You know, that was an offer I couldn't refuse. Ruth went with me and she played the steam calliope. We did that for 2 years and decided we should have a more permanent lifestyle. So I answered an ad in a national music magazine for someone that wanted to conduct an already established band. Well, you know where it was, right here in Fort Dodge. I was offered and accepted a one-year trial contract with the idea that it would be renewed each year. You know, it never was. Although I came here not particularly planning to stay, it turned out to be a steady job. So I hung around for a little more than 50 years. I guess somebody forgot to fire me. Well, Ruth ran a music store and music publishing business downtown. Fort Dodge Municipal Band was busy playing a number of events each year, including being a mainstay at the Iowa State Fair for many years. The store not only offered us income, but allowed me the freedom to both compose music and guest conduct bands throughout the United States. It's also a nice place to talk with my old cronies from time to time. They would drop by and I loved to talk. So I was known to talk and take music orders and compose music all at the same time. In 1934, I heard that a Sioux City architect named Henry Kamphoffner wanted a design for a large sweeping band shell. With the help of many, many outstanding local folks and the national WPA, it was built in Olson Park on the south edge of Fort Dodge. When it was completed in 1938, 10,000 people attended the dedication ceremony. Over the years, time and weather took its toll, and so citizens raised a large sum of money to have it restored. And today it looks brand new. In 1962, they built a nice long bridge across the Des Moines River. Went from downtown west to a private golf course, and they invited my band to perform for the dedication. Well, I didn't know it at the time, but they surprised me by naming it the Carl King Viaduct. Well, that's quite an honor. Well, at that time, a rather infamous place called the Creole Inn was on the East End. So I used to joke that I probably am the only man in the United States who had a bridge named after him, the one from a whorehouse to the country club. That's true. Now, my wife, Ruth, was a somewhat staid, conservative lady, and she would occasionally scold me for my colorful language. So I apologize to anyone in the audience who may be offended. I was fortunate to have a very professional group of men and women playing in the band over the years. However, sometimes it was hard to keep concentration in some of the long rehearsals. I think Jerry can attest to that. So one time I'm reminded when a very accomplished first chair clarinet, who was also a college band director, made the very obvious mistake three times in a row. I stopped the band and I said, "Bill, what in the hell is the matter with you?" He said, "I'm sorry, Carl. I guess I'm just asleep." Well, I said, "Billy, if it's all the same to you, sleep with your wife and play that clarinet for me, will you?" Well, my health was always pretty good, and so I was able to maintain a very busy schedule. However, just after my 75th birthday, I had a heart attack, and it laid me up in the hospital. Well, I was doing pretty well, but then my good friend Meredith Wilson in California found out I was ailing, and he gave me a call. Well, I got so excited talking to my friend Meredith again, damned if I didn't have another one. Well, my health wasn't quite the same after that. But I did get stronger and kept conducting the band. 5 years later, they had a great big celebration for my 80th birthday. The band played, and there were television cameras from God knows where, and people were standing in the aisles, and others couldn't even get in the auditorium. I was just glad the fire marshal didn't attend. But you know, as an old showman, I just had to appreciate turnaway business. In the month that followed, I was invited to all sorts of banquets and parties. During this, my pastor once said to me, "Carl, how do you get all this praise? Is it from clean living?" I said, "Nah. Comes from outliving everybody that remembers differently and being too old to be anything else." About 2 weeks after the traditional St. Patrick's Day concert, I took sick again, this time for the last time. I joined the Heavenly Band on March 31st, 1971. Since that time, people have been so nice in their remembrances. Van Shell and the Municipal Band were both named for me, as was the City Square, where we used to play our downtown concerts. On that site, they recently erected a bronze statue of me. I hope the pigeons don't rest on my baton. Meredith has a statue by the same sculptor up in Mason City, and we're both happy with the results. Speaking of Meredith, you all know about his famous musical, The Music Man? Well, that was based on a Mason City true story. Back in 2006, a writer and theater troupe in Fort Dodge created and performed the musical Cardiff, which was based on a true story about the hoax of the Cardiff Giant. A block of gypsum mined in Fort Dodge was shipped to Chicago and carved to look like a giant prehistoric man. When it was buried in Cardiff, New York, they dug it up a year later, and it was proclaimed a prehistoric man, and thousands of people lined up to pay to see the creature. Even P.T. Barnum got into the act. The incredible true story was made into a musical using my music. Who would have thought it, Meredith? A Broadway musical with my music. Well, I think he's a little surprised, but pleased. Well, I'd like to thank you nice folks for being such a fine audience, and let me leave you with this secret I discovered for success in conducting a band. Early in my career, I discovered this cardinal rule: When the band stops playing, stop conducting.